Welcome among
the Rollist.
We just finished a game with Brendan LaSalle. Hello, Brendan.
Hello, thank you.
Welcome to the United Kingdom.
Thank you very much. I'm having a fantastic time.
So, what have you been up to?
A minimum of sightseeing and tasting new foods, but mostly I've been running games either here at the Expo or yesterday at the Weekend Warriors store and having a fantastic time meeting new friends and hanging out with some old ones. It's been great.
So is it your first time in the UK?
No, this is my second time. I came here when I was 20 and did a backpacking and hitchhiking tour around and was in town for many, many weeks and had a good time. The six of you are at fourth level. You guys are some of the most powerful adventurers in the land. You're some of the strongest and most experienced, and you've been around, you know, you've been in the business for a very long time. The six of you have all worked together at different times on different things, you know, in drips and drabs. But the one time that you all came together, you were brought together for the Battle of Castle Gorgoth. So at Castle Gorgoth, the six of you working together, plus Arcadio, the mightiest warrior in the land, kind of like a friend and mentor to all of you guys have worked with in the past. Arcadio managed to, he brought all of you guys together to fend off the Emperor of the Moon and his weird army of bird-headed humanoids. You guys managed to hold them off long enough for the regular army to get in place to, like, because there was thousands of them. Regular army came in, and you held them off just long enough to keep things going there and to make that battle work. You've been basically dining out on that story ever since. That's been like your claim to fame. You've done a lot of things at the time, but like, if a dispute comes up, you're like, oh my god, that's Grimling. It's Grimling from Castle Gorgoth. That's Grimling the elf. And they're like, oh, Grimling. I had no idea. I'm so sorry. You know, take any room you like, sir. It's that been that kind of action ever since. So yeah, Arcadio is like this warrior that you guys have worked with on many, many occasions, and he brings you guys all of his adventures, and you guys, you know, known him well. And all of you are based in the city of Havnor. Havnor is the fabled city of bells, and it's the cradle of civilization. Population more than 1 million, which is a huge, huge, huge city for the time period and setting. And the city is known for this, like they literally have bells going off all the time. If you're a local, you can tell what time, what the weather is, where the king is at any time, just by what bells are going on in the background. I won't even mention it because it's going on so constantly that it's always over there in the background someplace. It's, you know, something. And they're like a spiritual thing. You give bells as gifts. It's kind of like a symbol of civilization and everything across the board. And on this day, the six of you guys have all received a summons from Lady Penelope. Lady Penelope is an aristocrat who you guys have worked with in the past. She's very nice, she's very rich, and her family is constantly in trouble or up to some insanity, you know? You were all brought in at one point to, like, sit on her cousin who had turned into a werewolf until a cure could be found and, you know, make sure that didn't happen and such. The one was kidnapped by the other, and you had to go and rescue them from the tower. And it's always good income, you know what I'm saying? So when you guys receive a summons, you guys are like, here's a little money coming, and this is going to be fantastic. But when you actually get to Lady Penelope's palazzo, her servant brings you outside, and there's like 100 people there. It's more like a garden party. It's not like all what you expect. Orchestra and like a stack of fancy wine glasses and, you know, the whole nine yards. You guys are there with your gear and, you know, ready to go and rock and roll. And you quickly come to realize that her country cousins are all in town. And they're technically aristocrats, but they're all awkward, and one is less desirable as a mate than the next, but she is here to try to introduce them to society, marry them off, and impress her with the dangerous people that she knows, including yourselves. So you guys are all at a back table, just waiting on your moment when you guys can actually get out of there without seeming rude to this, you know, one of your high-paying patrons, when a servant comes and runs straight over to Lady Penelope, says something in her ear, whispers it. Lady Penelope is shocked to hear what she says and drops her wine glass and, you know, grabs the servant, you know, shakes him, and actually there's some conversation as you guys are watching. He affirms, and she goes away stricken, and she goes over and she waves at him and she says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have terrible, terrible news. Mighty Arcadio has died." Everyone's shocked. all of you guys are shocked to hear this, okay? Because he's like a 50-year-old warrior. He's in the pink of health, and he's literally the most dangerous man any of you have ever known. Has taken every wound, been on every adventure. Just to hear that he's gone is a huge shock.
Was he a danger to society, or was he...
No, he's a lawful warrior. He's okay. One of the grand protectors of the city. He's sort of known as being one of the stalwart defenders of civilization, where, he's short-tempered, you know what I mean? Like, you once saw him kill a man with a mug in a bar over a very, very avoidable conflict, you know? But it happened, though. And we all let it go because, you know, he really was technically in the right, you know? So, if everyone has a 24-sided die, roll me a 20. We're going to roll a 24 plus or minus your luck score, okay? And this is going to tell us your relationship with Arcadio. So go ahead and make a roll. And also, tell us who your character is. We're going to start over here on my left.
I am Grimling. I've rolled an 8 minus... Oh, God.
That's a 7. That's not so bad. So you were... Other than Castle Gorgoth, you didn't work with him very often. Right. You were friendly, you know, but... He sent word through one of your friends recently that he has a thing this spring that he wants you to go along with. He has an adventure that he wants you to come along with. That's the last you heard of him. But you haven't seen him in months. What's your character called?
I'm Minar the Cloak. 11.
You're one of his key allies. He's brought you on several campaigns. He's lawful as well, so you're also kind of his go-to like for spiritual things. And he actually approached you recently. Minar! From across a crowded room, like he wades through people and is like, no, listen. What are you doing this spring? I'll tell you what you do in the spring. You're coming with me on my boat on the most absolutely amazing adventure you've ever seen in your life. This is going to be incredible. Make no plans. I'm telling you, you are going to have the most money, the most glory, the most fun. This is going to be fantastic. Get ready for it. All right, see you then. Oh, bring rope. We always need rope. Right, what'd you get?
I'm Sweeney, a demon with a razor, now trading with a two-handed sword instead.
Lovely.
I rolled a 15.
And a bag full of the worst pies in London. All right, on a 15, you guys are allies. He brings you on almost every campaign. You've been with him, you know, like working with him for years. You are associated with the mercenary company that he hires all the time, the Black Drum Legion. You're like a lieutenant in the Black Drum Legion. And at some point recently, he gave you like a... In gratitude, he's giving you a piece of quality gear. So update either a piece of armor or one of your weapons at the +1. Mm-hmm. What's your character's name?
Grimshoulder. And I'm a dwarf, and I hate this city, and I hate him. And these stupid people and the fancy parties.
It's all of that, and it's worse than that, okay?
3.
You've been with him before. You know he's a great fighter, but what does that mean? You know plenty of great fighters, you know? But he's got that attitude.
Living up the back of other people.
He really does. Yeah. And then, like, about a month ago, he came to your house in the middle of the night. He woke you up banging the door. And when he gets there, he's wearing plate mail, but only the top half. He's naked from the bottom down. And he's like, Grimhold, dwarf. Sorry. Oh, my God. A little drinking. I need to borrow some gold. Let me get 500. I'll get it back to you real quick. And that was the last you saw of him. All right. What'd you get?
18. I'm Oedipo, and I take care of special operations.
Gotcha.
Around here.
So you're a wizard?
I'm a thief.
You're a thief. Oh, okay, yeah. You're one of his close allies. And at one point, one time drunkenly, he told, you know, Oedipo, I'm going to tell you something. I hate thieves. Freaking hate them. I don't like people stealing, and I don't like it. But you know what? You're about your business. You do what you're supposed to do, and you've never gone into my pocket that I've caught you at. So you're okay in my book, man. You're the only one I trust out of all of them. Look, I got this thing, okay? It's probably good for a thief. Go ahead and keep it. And he throws you this, it looks like a pocket. You can just, you know, like you like it had come off a pair of pants. But when you put it, he shows you how to use it. You put it to your skin and you have this invisible pocket that you can't be seen. It just looks like a part of your stomach when you attach it there or your arm or your leg or wherever you put it. You can hold about a half a cubic foot of material in there, a dagger, coins or whatever, extra set of lock pits. He's like, I have absolutely no use for this thing, but you could probably get some with it and such. And then recently, you were at the Thieves Guild. There's a kind of a hotel they've taken over. You hear a commotion from downstairs. You're like, get him down here, Oedipo! You get down there to see him like smacking thieves around and just, oh, there you go. Listen, this spring, I need some locks and pick stuff done properly. You're coming with me on the boat. It's going to be amazing. Are you looking at me funny? Are you looking at me funny over there? That's the last time you saw him.
I'm a woolly binge rider. I'm a halfling haberdasher.
Okay, and what's your big in your role?
I got a 9.
A 9, okay. You were friendly with him, and he actually, once he found out, I was like, oh, you're a halfling. Yeah, come on over to the house. You quickly realize that he thinks that your luck will rub off on the household, so he had you, like, stand in certain areas.
I don't think it works that way.
Oh, yeah, sure it does. Like, look, let me, and, like, lifts you up and, like, rubs you on the safe. Yeah, it'll be fine. No, it's this damn thing. You're good.
No, you're making me uncomfortable.
But he didn't take you seriously until the Battle of Castle Gorgoth, and ever since then, he's considered you an ally.
Thank you.
So what have been your highlights so far?
Well, you know what? Honestly, this game we just finished up. You guys did a great job. That was really fun. Your character was making me laugh the whole time.
Although I was spoiling your...
No, it wasn't spoiling at all. I just took it in a different direction, you know? I don't believe in resisting when characters do something weird. You incorporate it, and then that becomes part of the story. And that your character's reluctance and disbelief in luck and magic and your reluctance to be considered a lucky charm, I've never seen that done before in a game, and I found it refreshing.
I thought it was funny, the idea that this character would really, have a rough time being touched all the time wherever he would go to play.
Yeah. And it was, and that's fair. I mean, in real life, if you think about it, you know, you would be everyone invading your personal space like that all the time and demanding that you make, you know, that you're lucky. That would be terrible. So it was funny that, you, to me, what would seem, now in retrospect, seems like, oh yes, obviously you would hate that. But to see you guys actually do it was like, you know, bomb one, square funny. That was really good.
Thank you.
Hearing that he has died is quite shocking. The whole place is a buzz. Some people are crying. You know what I mean? People are like, you know, he's one of the city's great defenders and such. And a few moments after that, you see like his wife, Lady Lumina, she comes in there. She is just distraught, crying, just looks terrible. And she runs over to Lady Penelope, who's like a distant cousin of hers, and they talk for a minute. And then she sees you over there, and she comes over to the table where all of you are sitting, and she's like, oh, it's good to see all of you. I know you were all mostly his allies and friends and people he really trusted. I just can't believe he's gone. You know, the only thing that my husband ever wanted was to die in battle. And I knew that was coming at some point. I was ready for it. But to have a man like that, to have him die in bed? He just wouldn't wake up. He was just cold. I don't know what happened. He wasn't even sick. He hasn't been sick in a year. I don't know what... I don't know what could have happened to him. And for a man like that to die like that, I just don't know that I could... I don't know what I'll...
Is she sincere?
Give me an intelligence roll. Take a look.
So it's a magnificent 7, yeah.
You don't know. You scan her. She looks sincere, but you don't have a, you know. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes humans can be...
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen an apothecary recently or not?
He hasn't been sick for the longest time. He must have caught a chill or something overnight, but he just...
I guess my neck rubbed off at some point.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't blame yourself. I'm sure he didn't blame any of you, but just to have... He was so excited. He wanted to journey with all of you this spring, and it was the main thing on his mind. He was up all night last night planning it with his friends, and then to have him just wake up like that in the bed, it's like it seems like a judgment, like a judgment of the gods.
Not to add to your woes, but this sounds mighty suspicious.
She kind of straightens up a little bit. You think someone who would
dare? A
man
of that strength, of that health, doesn't just not wake up in the morning. I smell her.
Have a little look around the vicinity to see if anybody's like looking over in a way that would be
certain. You look around the room, the party and such. Most people are like, seem demonstrably upset, but it's a bunch of lords and ladies, Lady Penelope's country cousins who don't know how to act. We're just standing there like looking at each other and, you know, don't know how to treat the situation. People look shocked more than anything. That's the mostly what you see. People expected him to be running out there and killing dragons and putting demons in headlocks.
And Lady Lumen, your husband told me he was going to give me 500 gold pieces tomorrow to come to the house first thing in the morning.
He said that.
He did.
That doesn't sound like him.
Oh, he did. Yes, he did. Was he a man of his word?
If he said that to you, then we will certainly honor that.
Oh, fantastic.
That doesn't sound like him.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Master Dwarf. Thank you.
Has anybody had access to the room so far? I mean, where is his body?
Oh, you're terrifying me. Look, please, If you would investigate this and take your friend and just like, look at this, I won't be able to rest until...
Absolutely. Just one more question. You mentioned that he was with some friends last night discussing this.
Yes.
Who were they, do you know?
Well, certainly. Well, he was there with the sea captain, Captain Smitty. Most of you know Captain Smitty. He doesn't have a whole lot of luxuries, did Arcadio, but he owns a boat. And he has his own pier and his own boat that he keeps a crew on 24 hours a day, just in case he has to go kill something on the water. Smitty's been his captain since he bought the boat, pretty much came with the boat. Anyone who got a 10 or higher on that role, at some point, you've gone on an adventure where you have cruised along with him on a sea adventure and such. So Smitty was there. Big Jax was there. You know Jax from the Black Drum Legion. Jax is a warrior. He used to be kind of a funny roll-around guy and such. And then in a battle a couple of years back, he took an axe to the head. And now it kind of messed up his thinking a little bit. And now he has kind of a learning issue. And he's more childlike. He's still dangerous. They still let him come ride with him. But he's in bad condition. Do you remember what you got on that roll I had you do earlier?
With the 15.
15? And you know that Arcadio's been paying his rent since he got hurt. He lives above the Stolen Drum, which is the pub that the Black Drum Legion kind of haunts. It's sort of like their unofficial headquarters. So Big Jax was there, the fortune teller. You've crossed paths with fortune teller at some point. He is another local mystic, more of a mystic. He has some magical powers, but mostly he's a seer, and he can see in the future and things. The fortune teller was there, and he invited Melfinschlapp, the king's wizard, to come to the thing, but... he refused. He didn't arrive. He didn't come. And that's it. That's all. That's everyone who was there. And well, Pemberton, my servant.
Well, should we visit that body then? Maybe the cleric can find out something.
Yes, by all means, whatever you can do. So
I think it'd be pretty best if my friends here present would come with me, because I think
of course.
Be best. Oh yes, I would like to go to his house.
I
need to get to that house.
Please control yourself.
Got loads of questions about this game and the session we had, but first I want to ask you our traditional question at the Rollis podcast, which is, how would you describe/explain what is a tabletop RPG to someone who'd never heard of it or never noticed a game, doesn't know nothing about it?
Certainly. I would tell them that this is an improvisational storytelling game that's interactive. One person is the guide. The other people control mostly the characters, and that you create a situation and then you use some kind of randomizers to determine when there's a chance that can go well or poorly, or pass or fail, or be high or low. You use randomizers, typically dice, but sometimes other things, in order to make a decision. I have friends who do improv acting, and I say, you know, in an improv acting situation, like the audience will shout out suggestions. The dice are your audience, and sometimes you would ask the dice, "Do I hit?" And the audience is the dice yell, "You fail this time," or "You hit," or "It's a critical." So,
I like it. We're kindred spirit because you're very practical in your description. The last two person I asked were really like, it's a shared dream, man. And you go there with your friend and you're a different world, which is a very good description. But
you know what? It can be. It certainly can be. I've certainly had games before where I really felt like the people I sat with, we really created something. We really made a piece of art that we would only ever share that one time. And like one time we create the art and appreciate the art. And from then on, we can only remember it and discuss it as memories. I mean, I've certainly had that experience. And then I've had nights where we just killed orcs all the time and it was hilarious. So, you know, it depends on the people and the mood and the story and the rules. But it can be that artistic and ephemeral, but it also can be very concrete and, you know, just we're here to kill giants and chew bubblegum kind of nights. You guys start making your way over to his house right there on the water. He must be very wealthy, but it's a fairly big place, but not like a mansion, you know what I'm saying? Pemberton the servant is waiting there as you come in. He's an older guy. It's so good to see you all. I wish it was under a bit of circumstance. Okay. I wonder if it was my fault. He said to open the window. Maybe I opened it too far. There was a chill, and I don't know what could have happened. And I'm just, I can't believe he's gone. I just can't believe it.
Well, that answers our first question. Typically, are the doors and windows locked at night?
Well, he's not afraid of... He wasn't afraid of anything in this world, so he would do it as the weather.
Is he still in bed? The body's still there?
It is, sir.
Perhaps we should check out the body.
There's nothing... out of character.
Sure.
There's nothing suspicious about that. The Seventh appears to be behaving sincerely.
Yeah, you know, you can also make me roll. D20 add your intelligence bonus.
Wow.
You know, humans, right? They're hard to read. Yeah. With their crazy round eyes and their little weird ears. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to... If you can't see an ear twitch, how do you know if someone's lying or telling the truth or not? But he seems... You don't have any reason to suspect him.
Right.
He's not being...
They all just seem shifty to me.
Yeah.
So I guess the front of the house and just sort of, in my eyes, does it look like it would be easy...
It's like he's inviting it. You know, he's got a skylight and like a big fence around one part of the yard. He's like, yeah, come on, thieves.
Right,
you know,
right.
Love to see you. You know, it would be very easy, you think, to break into here. Except, once you go inside, feel yourself going across like a subtle magical barrier. You only know because you're like a fourth level elf and touch. You don't know if that would keep a man out, but like you can tell that it's there. It's some kind of protective thing. So...
Do I feel any kind of magical residue or anything? Something that... Does it feel a bit like someone's cast spells here at any point?
It's hard to tell.
Sure,
passing through there, you definitely feel something like that. He wasn't much for wizardry, so it's hard to pin that down. But, you don't know for sure.
What time did his friends leave last night?
Pendleton says, well, they were here until late. They were here until at least 1, and at 1 a.m., he told me that I should just go ahead and go to bed because they were going to be up for a while talking. I turned the bed down, and then that was it. I retired for the evening, and then this morning I went there to rouse him, and he was just as I found him. It was...
So are we any close to the body now?
Yes, he should.
So, yeah, well, I'll have a look. Does he look blue? Is there a sting or his tongue or something?
He takes you into the back bedroom. He's got kind of a poster bed and, kind of a sparse place. He's laying there, and he looks, obviously very pale, but you don't see anything, like, super obvious, like his veins are all bulging out.
There's not a struggle or anything.
Give me a search roll.
I see.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, so looking at the pallet that he sleeps on, okay, it looks like under his hands, he's very physically strong, and under his hands, it's as if he'd bunched the pallet up under his hands and actually ripped part of it up at some point, like right under where his hands are during the night.
Go search for obvious poisoning.
Put
on him.
D20 uh-huh. Plus your poison.
Do you mind if I have a look? The window's open.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 20.
Obviously next to the bed, the windowsill. Are there no kind of weird like muddy footprints or...
Okay, yeah, you look for something like that. You kind of see what you expect to see, the normal traffic and place of death. But when you go up like to the window like and like pull the silk back a little bit, there's like 2 daggers like they're stuck there next to the wall. Hanging there, like on pegs. You got a 20, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go over there and check him out, and like you get near his mouth, there's definitely an odor. Mm-hmm. And you actually like press on his chest a little bit to expel some air from him, and there's definitely this burnt almond kind of odor coming out. You're positive he was poisoned, and with a 20, you can narrow it down to about 3 possible combinations of chemicals. But any of them were pretty sick, and it was an ingested poison. He was poisoned by something that he ate or drank. Mm-hmm. And it, it takes less than 6 hours to work.
Okay. What's Pendleton doing now?
Mm-hmm. Pendleton is kind of standing in the doorway, like just sort of watching, waiting to be at servants,
right.
If anyone can do anything,
Did you tell us anything of what
you... Yeah, Pendleton, who provided the food for last night's feast?
I did. I kept the, he drinks tea, hot tea by the gallons when he's working. I kept the kettle going almost all, until he told me to go to bed. I don't know, they didn't eat other than I put some bread out and some cheese. They barely touched it. Did something happen?
Yeah, you probably killed your master.
No! No, I did not!
Somebody has.
I never would.
So, characters, do you tell the rest of us what you...
Yeah, I'll share that something foul is afoot in this place. And did everybody partake in this meal that was put before our good friend?
Yes, they all took tea. Well, Jax won't take tea. He had ale.
I only drink ale. Cheese, rubbish. It's easy to poison.
He, actually has, put the cheese and the bread, back in the cabin and takes it back out. Give me a luck check. Roll d20 and I'm going to roll under your luck. Tell me how you
under
do
luck. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and but he's washed with the tea service and all the cups and everything. These guys are all been scrubbed.
It's convenient.
Well, his fortune teller wasn't up to much.
Do we know of the whereabouts and health of the visitor?
Oh, yes.
You know that Jax lives over the drum. He doesn't really go any place without the Legion and whatnot and such. He just doesn't have the capacity.
Smitty and...
So yeah, Smitty literally lives on the boat 200 yards away from where you are right now. The fortune teller... Yeah, you're pretty sure you know where he lives in town. He's got like an apartment in kind of the fashionable section of the city. And Melson Schlapp was invited but didn't show up. He's the king's wizard, and the king's got like a keep in the center of the city. Now he's got like a research tower there. Over the years, you've watched it. That tower was first like rod straight in the air, and now it's like all twisted. And like over time, magical energies. You've heard that he experiments with magic a lot, and magical energies have like twisted the whole area over there and such. And walking by it is weird sometimes. Sometimes when you'll go by, you'll just have a sudden thing like, there are ghosts everywhere! And then it goes away in an instant. It's said that he's always, he dabbles in a lot of different kinds of esoteric wizardry.
Should we perhaps go and get Jax? If he's not that bright, then he might actually be a bit more honest about telling us what happened last night.
Yeah, he has his own private pier, and then his boat's right there. Mm-hmm. So
are we finished in this room?
Is anything it looks like could be worth 500 gold pieces worth?
If you want to get into the West Jewelry, probably, you know.
But I'm going to grab Pemberton, and I'm going to say to him that Acardio was about to pay me 500 gold pieces. Get me that money.
I didn't kill him. I did not kill Arcadio. I did not kill my master.
That's fine, but just go and get me the money he was going
to
pay me.
I'll have to ask her, the lady of the house. She'll have to... I can't do that on my own. She'll have to do that when she gets in. Excuse me, sir. Good day, sir.
Well,
I said good day, sir! He stomped. Angry at being accused, he stomps off.
Well, I think we're done here.
Who got the highest on that 24 roll I had you guys do?
Yeah, I got 18, yeah.
You got 18? You know where... He's got a trap door that leads to like a basement down there where all of his gear is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, you could help yourself if you want. You know.
You can check it out.
Yeah, you can go check it out if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you guys, like, tromp down there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think we should.
So, no one else has actually seen it except for...
Yeah, Oedipode.
Oedipode.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go down there and touch. There's a strong box. There's, like, extra suits of weapons, or extra suits of armor. There's weapons on the wall and such. There's, like, a glass stein full of rubies. It's just sitting there. You know, that's... It would buy the right person in the right place. A kingdom. You know, it's just sitting there.
An elf. Any of these weapons?
Are we robbing the dead?
Yeah. No, I think we just make sure it's order. Because
give me an intelligence check.
We're borrowing some equipment to help avenge him.
But equally, if there's something missing from here that should be here. okay, yeah, intelligence. 18.
Outstanding. You know, so you're looking around for anything that's been out of order and such. You check around, and looking up on the one wall, the one thing that you were like, well, obviously this is still... Oh, no, it's gone. There's a magical artifact that he found. You were with him when you guys actually found it. It's called the Rod of the Ungod. And supposedly, it gave the welder mastery of life over death. When he got it, he was just like someone like the mystic whose arm you had just broken told him how it all worked. And he's like, well, this is too dangerous. I was like, I got to get rid of it. And he keeps saying he's going to do something with it at some point, but it won't break. And you know what I mean? He put it on a fire one night. It won't do it. So he's just, like, he's basically had it down here in the basement, just waiting for, trying to figure out what to do with the thing. He considers it too dangerous to have in the hands of just anybody. Yeah, give me a wheelhouse roll, d20, intelligence, and 4 for your level. So.
9. No.
Well, 13. Okay, on 13, I mean, you know such dangerous things exist. You've never heard that phrase before and such, but, like, you know that there are. This isn't the fantasy world where you can go and for the apothecary and give him 20 gold pieces and bring your dead comrade back to life. Mm-hmm. Bringing someone back to life is a very serious thing. It offends the gods. Some gods root for it. Some hate it. It's never a thing you do lightly and such. So that you know for sure. And if he did have that kind of an artifact and it did do what it said it was, I mean, it would be, in the wrong hands, incredibly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's very powerful.
Who would have known that this existed? Even this,
you know,
safe
world. When you liberated it,
mm-hmm.
it was you, him, and Jax, mm-hmm. and literally had fought your way up this wizard's tower. The guy was like, "The Rod of the Ungod." I don't know what you're... Ah, yes, it's in the cabinet. It's in the cabinet. So Jax would know, and you were there when it happened. But that's the last time. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, we could actually resurrect him with that thing. We could ask him what who killed him, and then we kill him again. So the gods are not bad.
What was he killed, and was the thing taken to prevent him being brought back, or was the thing taken and him killed as a...
That's a good question.
You know, it's what was the motive, I guess.
Was it to stop him
doing what he was going
on
go
this expedition?
Yeah.
What was the mission for?
Well, exactly.
Where was he going?
We can perhaps assume that Jax, Captain Smitty, and the fortune teller might have known.
Well, he's not wants to go and visit them.
Yeah.
To just determine that we're willing.
So, where are we going first after this?
Into the boat just outside.
Yeah,
I recommend we don't split the party.
Good idea.
Yeah, good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well seen, gentlemen. Well seen.
How did you get into the hobby yourself?
Sure. I started playing in 1977 because I'm an oldster on the roadster. I started playing with my friend. We went to California to visit my mother's best friend, and her son had started playing. He was about my age, and he turned me on. We started with the blue Holmes edition of Dungeons and Dragons, and we played a very strange little kid's version of it. But it was a perfect introduction, and I left California under the game's spell, and I instantly started looking for new players and found out that some of the people in my Boy Scout troop that I joined had also played. And eventually I joined their game, and I've been gaming ever since. I'm an obsessive hobbyist.
How did you identify them? Because, I'm not that old, but unlike today, where we've got the internet, it's certainly easy to locate people. Were they reading a magazine or something? What were the clue which told you, fellow Boy Scouts are into that?
Again, much more practical. Like, I had known people who, you know, like, I instantly started asking everybody about it, and I got my own copy. And then when I joined Boy Scouts, we were talking about it, and I was like, and I play Dungeons and Dragons. And they were like, we play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, well, I learned. And although they were playing, when I met them, it was a year or two later, and they were playing Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. They had the hardcover books. And so I was actually the one who got schooled by the rest of my Boy Scout troop. I was pretty shocked by it.
You were quite lucky. Did you rub the head of a halfling or something?
He was very reluctant, but eventually he had to give in to my ministrations. No, I was lucky. I was lucky to meet not just players, but good players, like good for 12, 13, 11-year-olds. And I actually wound up playing with big kids pretty soon. We joined my friend, friend of a friend's game, a guy named Danny, and Danny ran a great D&D game. And it was really, you know, he made it extremely difficult for us, and I realized quickly, the harder it is, the more fun it is. And that sort of shaped my aesthetic.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing of, I'm not sure it's out of fashion. Well, I guess it's different school. It's more something like that. People still do that, and people I revolve around nowadays are a bit far from that, but I kind of miss this. Challenging game sort of thing.
There is certainly a mindset of certain gamers who try to improve their characters to make themselves to minimize the challenges by maximizing their characters. And that's certainly a way to play, but also you can go the opposite direction with that, where you can play, you know, where you can sort of still take your character seriously, but not be obsessed over it and be content to not just to face the challenges that are ahead of you as they come, but also to sometimes fail. All right, so we walk out the pier and head out to the boat. Smitty, the sea captain, and his two-man crew passing a bottle, and he's got the harmonium out. It's, I will not lie down the train of rage. Oh, gentlemen, come and join me. Come and have a drink to the greatest warrior the world's ever known. Drink this. And he starts passing the rum bottle around, and everyone, you know, encouraging people to take a memorial swig.
Hey, free drinks!
It's all the king, and it's all he ever needed!
Fishing boat.
Well, where did Arcadia want you to go? What was the trip you were planning?
Oh, for the spring!
Yes.
Talking about sea stuff, kind of snaps them out of it a bit. Four ports of call, and then a search grid in the middle of God-forsaken nowhere. He wants us to go out to the middle of the ocean. This island he heard is a magical island hidden in mist that was Isle of the Grey Ones, he called it. He believed that from there, he could go and take all of you, because he meant for you all to come. He mentioned almost all of you by name.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Specifically, he said, need luck for this journey.
Oh, come on. This is racist. You know, this.
You're making me uncomfortable.
Don't touch me.
He says, yes, all of us to go to the Isle of the Great Ones. Because he believed that they could transport us to fight an old foe of his. You were there at Castle Gorgoth. He believed that the Emperor of the Moon and his Rook army were about to return. And when he says this, it snaps all of you guys back to that day. So, okay, right now, this is a flashback, okay? So you guys are all on the back steps of Castle Gorgoth. Rain is pelting down all around you guys. Arcadia was standing there with you guys. About 60 feet away, there's a huge, big, defensible wall over there with this barred gate. And you just see it go as something on the other side is slamming against it, probably with like a battering ram and such. Arcadio is like, all right, listen. His trick worked, okay? The regular army got faked out and they all went south instead of coming here. This is really a problem, but I think we can handle it. Look, all we have to do is hold them off long enough for them to get back here and we're going to be just fine. So I am going to go to the front gate, okay? I will be there myself. I want the six of you to be back here. And do not let anything access this inside. You have to stop them here. Listen, the Emperor of the Moon, he means to destroy civilization. And he means to start it here. So I need you to stop him. You've got to do this today. This is, your lives are happening right now. Do not fail. And then he runs off, heads through the up front of the thing and such. And like a moment later, the door slams with one of them. The door flies open, the huge bar cracks in half, and outside, they're standing out in the rain, is thousands of them. His army themselves, they have like humanoid bodies, but they have the heads of giant rooks, and they look up at you guys, and they don't seem to talk. That's all they ever do. They've got like pikes, and there's just so many of them. Like, you've never seen such an army put together. In front of them, there is the Emperor of the Moon. He is dressed in like all like gleaming white plate mail. His mask has got the crescent moon coming out of the top and the bottom. You can only see, like, his mouth. Now ends the domination of the Terrans over the moon? And now do we put pay to every insult that has kept us far, far away from all those things of civilization? Today it begins. We destroy it all? Beginning with these fools. Take them, my men. Take them all! With a squawking and a rustle of feathers, they're getting ready to charge here across the courtyard and come and see you about their grievances. But Grimling the elf gets to go first, so what are you going to do?
What are my chances of shattering his mask? Should I give it a roll?
Yeah, you can give it a roll.
Why should we roll a one?
So Grimling tries a spell, tries to shatter that mask from the guy. It does not work. And Sweeney.
I shall release a crossbow bolt into his face. 10.
Ding! Just bounces off his forehead. He just looks at you like, ha, 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 ha.
There's more.
Couldn't be more excited that you're shooting crossbows at him. To Oedipo.
You know, around the vicinity of where they're about to come in from, is there anywhere that I think I could get up and get a vantage point to, in theory, when he comes through,
sure,
get down on top of it?
Yeah. There's plenty of like stuff in the yard. There's barrels and boxes, yeah, and whatnot. You think you, yeah, can, you know, spend a couple of rounds creeping up there and, yeah, get up behind him? Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and, with everything that's going on, race into, sure, the shadows somewhere and make, mm-hmm, my way around the top.
Give me your sneak silently check.
Because you've got 17.
All right, suddenly everyone loses track of Oedipo.
Cool.
I have no idea where he got to. He is just, you know, da-da-da-da. So you are creeping your way around to get around behind him for a backstep.
Yeah.
Outstanding. My knock.
Always sanctuary.
Always sanctuary. Just, okay, on an 18, enemies are compelled to focus their attacks against other targets. And so he can wander around and heal people while the fight goes on. So that's what it's made for. They charge. The Emperor leading the way. Mr. Crossbow over here, he's coming to see you. He's coming to see you first, essentially. Swinging that long silvery quarterstaff, and it leaves like moonbeam trails. It swings around in the air. 23. So he actually comes up, swirls around, and hits you in the crotch with it. You take 14 points of damage, and give me a really good fortitude save, or you'll be stunned for a round.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're losing a turn. Yeah. And the rest of them charge up. You know, two of them each to come at you guys individually. So you guys are like literally standing on the stairs of the castle. Mm. Second one gets a 19. Does that hit you?
That's a hit. Unbelievably, one of these losers has managed to hit Grimling.
Two of them come at the dwarf. And that's going to be a 21 and a fumble. 8 points of damage.
Okay.
And the one guy collapses on the stairs, having some kind of armor problem, like screwing his legs and such. But two do come at the halfling.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a 13 and a 12.
Yeah, they both miss.
Nimbly jumps aside, blocks him, you know, gets out of the way and such. They're starting to swarm in here. Just for a second, you see like these four ropes just hang down, coming at it from no place. Far, far, far above, you see numbers of them starting to shimmy down on these things. They're coming out of, you know, out of the storm somehow. It's your turn, my friend.
Wally Binchstrider is going to jump onto the banister of those big marble stairs. You describe,
hey, I'm proud of the moon. Do you rule over this?
And I'm going to drop my pants and shoe it my ass.
Give me that roll and add plus one because that's just effed up, you know?
Come on. Is it broken? Because it's kind of...
For the listening audience at home, your man just rolled a two. Mm. A two on the numbers.
For the listener in the audience, these are Grognard Fights Podcast branded dice, and I'm not using them anymore. Thanks, Dirk the Dice. So if I could borrow dice from someone... How much should I have burned to succeed?
I mean...
So it's a five, because I had a plus two, plus your plus one.
You got a total of five. That's a definite fail, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you're looking at... I will say...
If I burn five.
You burn five, that's 10 points to 15.
No, you're going to get to 20.
Okay, so how much do I need for 20?
8 points.
Eight, okay, 8 points, that is.
So you do that, and the Emperor, like, all his men, like... Aah! Like, apparently they don't see a whole lot of halfling ass. And they're just shocked.
It's very hairy.
Yeah, it's horrendous. And like, he himself is like, you dare show that to the Emperor of the Moon? I will have my revenge. You'll be the first to go. I'll take the half of them. I'll take all of you. And he, you know, I'm going to give him a willpower save because this is just the kind of thing that sets him off. He might spend this round ranting. He got a two on that saving throw and just is going to spend this next round just losing his mind over this affront. He's just, because, you know, I got to respect 20. I mean, that's, you know. So, yeah, he just is going to freak out for a round and then all attacks on you at that point once he gets done. So,
good thing I got six left in luck. So.
Yeah, remember he has a staff. I get those pants back up.
I think you need to put it behind me.
Failure, one thing I was sort of looking forward to today, which didn't happen, but that's fine, is that I heard a lot about this difficulty and the principle of the character funnel
Dungeon
Crawl Classics.
I actually ran a funnel this morning at 9 o'clock. I ran my new character funnel, The Accursed Heart, and we had a body count today. I mean, I had six players. They had three characters each, and a few of them lost all their characters, and I gave them a few extras. They did a good job. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, we ran a funnel this morning, and should have been there for that. It was Rock'em Sock'em Robots for a minute there.
Could you explain to people who not be familiar with the concept what it is and why it's like that, and what's the idea behind it?
Absolutely. So in classic gaming, you would begin with a first level character who would be starting off on his adventuring career, and he would, you know, eventually get more experience and more power and become a better and better and greater hero. The concept of the funnel is that you start instead with multiple zero level characters, people who are not adventurous, but who are instead just regular folks like you and I who are trying to better themselves or who get thrown into a situation
I've heard you can be a cheesemonger or stuff.
A cheesemonger,
like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of, we have a lot of gong farmers, you know, a lot of radish farmers, a lot of like, you know, today somehow we had a halfling haberdasherers and things. And, they
which is a character I played.
Yeah, basically, yeah, they played you before you got good, you know? And at zero level, they're, you know, they lose a lot of characters. They lose their lives a lot, but the ones that survive then go on to become high level characters. And, they actually gain skills and become fighters and warriors and wizards and the like. So
I tried to drop, Easter eggs about that, but halfling haberdasher, that's called, I'm not very good with voice, but that's what I try to attempt to. It reminded me of, I don't remember the title, an old Mickey Mouse cartoon where he fights giants, where he says,
And I killed 7 with one blow.
Oh, yeah, the tailor. The tailor. Well, a haberdasher, yeah. A haberdasher makes hats, gloves, and fancy garments. So that's not bad. That's not bad.
It's your turn, my friend.
This crazy moon guy.
Yep.
He's ranting.
He is.
Okay. But I'm going to jump off the stairs with my axe and smash him over the head.
Smash him over the head.
I'm going to burn 10 luck.
Yeah. on your deed die, you hit him in the helmet so hard that you actually roll your damage. You're going to crumple it so that he can't get it off without, like, someone, you know, like a blacksmith doing it there and such. I mean, that's a 10-point deed. That's like Looney Tunes.
19 then.
That's a rock and roll 19, as we call it there at the old Hacienda. Not only is he automatically stunned, and it makes such a noise, like clang! It's crumpled, so the moon looks funny. It's a hideous, hideous, hideous hit. You see this guy just smashed. He staggers back. He's going to be like, for 3 rounds, he's just like in really raw shape and such. And his men are all kind of like, what the what? You know, but they're still very much in this fight. Grimling.
Bodrick the dwarf loved him some animals, so I'm going to cast animal summoning.
Okay, animal summoning. All right, give me a percentage dice for mercurial magic.
25.
Okay. You can summon one mundane animal of up to 8 hit die, which would be like an
elephant?
Mastodon.
Mastodon.
Yeah, mastodon.
All right.
That's perfect.
So you summon a mastodon, and suddenly the landscape of the battlefield has really changed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the front line is really rethinking how what their next tactical attacks are. It's a thing like, and like it runs there into their masses and such. I'm going to do a general high-low roll to see how they react to the, you know what I'm saying? So high being better for the players.
Hey. Whoa!
That's a 20. This round, they all just... There's an elephant, there's a sounding for retreat. The guy just got his head pegged in. They don't know who the hell you are. Emperor being stunned, he kind of staggers backwards. Also this round, the Macedon goes and just starts smashing guys. He's stepping on guys, he's trunking them. They're getting tusked.
Tusked.
You know what I'm saying?
The verb I like.
Yeah. And that is what happens, and now it's Grimshoulder. Grimshoulder!
What do I need to do? Don't come.
Kill.
Okay, big hit coming up.
Yeah.
17.
That's a hit.
So I do D6 plus my D die. Yeah, 6 points of damage.
Yeah, and that's it. So you smack him upside the head, and like he just staggers over and falls over dead. At this point, it becomes a rout with him going plus Mastodon plus... That ends the battle. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys, like they start backing away to like regroup. And with the Emperor dead, they don't know what to do. The guys that were coming down on the ropes, they just like the ropes just literally like... We send back up into the sky and, like, you know, go back to where you can't see them. 10 minutes later, you're over here, like, da-da-da-da! That's like the regular army starts riding back up to the rain, you know, as fast as they come up the road and such, charging up here, and that's how it ended. Hours later that night, you guys were all, like, around the campfire there with Arcadia, who was like, you guys, I can't believe you pulled that nonsense off. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I literally pulled that out of my butt.
You know why? It's because of this one here. He's lucky, I'm telling you.
Stop saying that. Don't touch me.
Listen, whatever else happens in the rest of your careers, any of you, okay? Whatever happens in the rest of your lives, you can look any man alive in the eye and say, I was there at Castle Gorgoth. Mm-hmm. I saved civilization. I did what had to be done. You are what you do when it counts. And this day you did it great. Well done. Now let's get crap faced. So you guys all had that memory when you guys were there in the boat. And Smitty, the captain, says, yeah, that's what I remember. He says that Arcadia was convinced the Emperor of the Moon had somehow returned. And that he had been restored to somehow, and he was once again plotting to come back and wage war on civilization again. So he thought that we would go to take it to them, and somehow going to the island was somehow key to his plans. We discussed it to death. He wanted to leave this week, but I kept telling him, if you go now, you'll hit the storm. You'd all die in the water. You can't go across the Great Sea this close to November.
Did anyone question you about that trouble? Is that Arcadia?
The fortune teller wanted to know the range of... He asked the fortune teller to tell him the most auspicious day to leave. The fortune teller asked me, and I figured out it. April is fine. It'll be our best bet because we had to hit this port, this port, and this port.
Voices, I was extremely impressed by your performance of different characters, your wizard, etc. How did you develop that? Is it just practice or is it something?
I mean, it's practice. I have my shortcut to these things is I picture in my head what actor I would have play them if I was casting a movie with this. And then I do my best to ape those in some cases. But with these, this is a game I've been developing for a while. And I think, I don't know that I could ever publish it. I think that Symptom of the Universe is too, I don't know, I don't know how to say it, too abstract in parts. I mean, there's parts of it that would be very hard to reproduce if you weren't in a convention situation, a small thing. So I've worked on these characters for a while and, but some of them come from places like they've evolved. You know, the fortune teller started off being more of a, I did him with more of a street accent. And then I made him more, the more I realized he was really a lofty spirit. He was somebody who thought he was above everyone else. So I sort of try to imagine the physical reality of what that would be like to be that guy with your nose in the air and such. And Melson Schlapp is actually Melson Schlapp is my character from many, many games. And I've played a version of Melson Schlapp in almost every system in some video games, you know? And, I just pictured, well, what if he was in DCC and he just had a lot of bad luck and started messing himself up. So that he had his lung problem that I imagined and all the other physical deformities and, corruptions that made him strange and, hard to look at. So,
He made the character very deep. It felt like he had, well, you could tell that you played that character over and over because he had a backstory without, you know, giving us, the text of the backstory. You could tell it was there.
Thank you. Yeah. In my head, it very much is, but I also wanted to, and this is, you know, spoiler alert. If you're ever going to play this game, you know,
take your headphones off the game. Yeah, so.
true. So, one of the things is by making him look so horrible, he's an instant suspect. You know, you go by the Dickensian thing and you see him and you go, oh, this one's a monster. Look at all of
that. That's your red herring, actually.
He's my red herring, yeah. Hopefully they're all red herrings, so.
And I knew that this
fortune
teller is a crook.
More so than any, I've run this game, I mean, I don't even know how many times, 30, 40, in conventions all across and in my home games. And you guys were figured out every step what had been going on. And I don't know if that speaks to, you know, what that speaks to, but you did a great job. So it was really, exceptional. But you guys knew, you know, you guys were able to predict what I was going to do from time to time. So
I think with the fortune teller, you know, I could have thought that actually you might have adapted the story because I was against the fortune teller because it was at some point I developed, okay, this guy, my character hates him. So yeah, whatever happens, it's going to be his fault. So at the end, I was like, I was wondering if you had swapped. Eventually, you know.
Oh, like maybe sometimes maybe one the other.
You know.
No, that's interesting. I thought about that before. Like, I crossed my mind that I could roll a die.
You know, Quantum Augur the thing.
Yeah. But and just, you know, do it that way. But the fact is, I'm trying to say, this is a set story in my head with sort of like set characters. This is really about, I don't know. I wanted to do a mystery and I wanted to do a story. Actually, when I sat down to write a new adventure and I thought, oh, I'll make this, you know, dungeon crawl classics. It's so, you know, weird and dark and strange. I said, I'll come up with the most nihilistic, the darkest game I can come up with. And while I was working on it, I came across, the published adventure. I just blanked on it. George's, oh God, I can't think of the name. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm blanking on this. Excuse me. I'm 8 hours off
my sleep.
Don't
worry. It happens to me all the time. I mean, you can send it to me. I'll put it in the show notes.
In the show notes. Yeah. And I can't believe I'm spacing on this, you know? And I can see the cover in my mind's eye.
What's the cover like?
Oh, it's a very simple, very sparse cover in the adventure. Black Sun Deathcrawl. I can't believe I couldn't think of that. Black Sun Deathcrawl, which is an amazing adventure that, it is about like a dying planet where you play this, where the weirdling sun is like destroying everything. And I read this and it was, there's very few perfect things. It was a perfect adventure. It just was like, nope. And I was like, there's no point in writing a nihilistic dark adventure anymore. It had been done. I felt like that had been covered. So I thought, I'll take it a different. I said, oh, well then I'll write something about love and relationships and about bonds and friendship and loyalty and, wanting to get to the bottom of your friend's killer. So
well, I think you should publish it. I mean, you were saying it's very abstract. The last, adventure I bought was something from, Lamentations of the Flame Princess.
Oh, wonderful.
The monolith, now it's my turn to forget what things are called. the monolith through space and time, something like that. Nice. And it's extremely abstract and extremely hard. But it's quite good and I think it's quite successful. So you shouldn't be, have hesitation about, putting this one out there. I think people would love it.
Well, maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll add it to my queue. And I haven't actually pitched it yet, but, maybe I'll try it out.
So, who's the closest from here? Next one to interrogate.
Yeah, the fortune teller is closer, and Nelson Slack's on the far side of town, but he's on the way, the one is on the way to the other, so you can...
I don't like this guy. He's spreading superstition that I cannot go to the market without people touching me, and anytime there's a big fight, they come to my house and bully me. I hate that.
They do leave you food, though.
No!
It's always like, if you get me a cupcake, it's lucky.
I run a good business, I don't need food.
So I squeeze his little cheeks.
No, don't touch me.
When you guys get to the fortune teller department, his servant is sitting outside, barely looks up from his cigarette that he's expecting. Gentlemen, sorry for your loss. Gentlemen,
thanks.
Terrible times.
For all of us.
For all of us.
Well, yeah, I guess your boss didn't see that one coming.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He's feeling pretty bad about it, too, frankly.
This is a scam.
He's got kind of a zen room up there, okay? So it's like low tables and cushions, and there's like star charts and astrology things, and the whole place smells like incense. When you come in, he's sitting there, he's like super pale, he's got like mystic tattoos all over his body and such, and redhead dreadlocks, you know what I mean, with like little wraps and such, and he's sitting there and he's like, come in, gentlemen, come in, welcome.
It's a bad day.
Tis. I foresaw your arrival, and I want you to know this. Arcadio was slain. He did not die in his sleep, and he did not die of natural causes. Also, he was not slain by an enemy, but by a friend. This I know. Something is preventing my powers. Something is keeping me from piercing the veil. Usually I can see into the great depths of the universe, and there's something that is stopping me.
Well, I'm sure you can.
Normally you're so amazing.
Do not mock what you do not understand.
Could this be the rod of the Ungod?
What do you know of the rod of the Ungod?
I know it's been stolen.
Stolen from where?
Stolen from Arcadia.
Arcadia? You had the rod of the Ungod? And we're going... Well, this is...
Well, I guess you didn't see that one coming either.
It blocks everything. Do you understand what it does? How it bends the realities of... Look who I'm speaking to. Look, although it is, he's very lucky, and I'm glad you're in the apartment here. Have a cupcake. Yours is very good.
Hey, I think we're going to put luck on your furniture.
I'm going to go rub my ass on this stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your blessings.
That's a very nice cough. It's very soft.
Fuck your couch. So while you're defiling things, I love that.
This place won't smell of incense when I leave.
Is he telling the truth?
Give me a roll.
Roll badly.
He's just bullshit.
You know, as far as you can tell, he's a lot more canny than everyone else you've spoken to.
So, what else can you tell us about last night? Well, what happened exactly?
Arcadio, he plans a mission. He wishes to go tomorrow, and he wishes to sail to find the Isle of the Grey Ones. Now, the Isle of the Grey Ones is real. Do not let anyone tell you that it is simply a myth. It is a true place. On the Grey Ones there, they are an island hidden by mist.
I suppose you've seen that in your visions.
I have seen it in my visions. I know of them. None alive, no more. Mm. Because the mists there prevent mortals. They wish people to come. They want it. They want it. They want you to come there because they ask a price of each one that goes there. A quest, usually. If you can answer their price, mucker, if you can meet their price, then they have a city of doors. City of doors and doors that lead to everywhere. Arcadio believed that they could open a door to the moon for him, that you could all pass through there, and there to bring the battle to the Emperor of the Moon, your old enemy. And he was certain that the Emperor of the Moon had been brought back to life.
And you agreed to go?
Oh, to go? Oh, no. No, I agreed to tell him the most auspicious day to leave, which, in fact, if you do still wish to go, is April the 15th.
Anything you can give us to help us on our way?
I can give you a reading. He says, no marriage for you ever.
Suits me.
He says, I see that you are owed a great deal of money that shall not be returned by any means. Ever. And I see Arcadio is, I am prevented. I am held back. And he falls backwards over his little cushion chair. When you guys stand up and look at him, blood is just coming out of his nose. I do not know which is... I cannot... And he just kind of comatose. He kind of like curls his knees up to his chest and he's just laying there, blood trickling over his mustache.
Does the nose look like it's broken instead of an internal reaction?
Yeah. Give me a check. What's your background? Halfling.
Haberdasher.
Haberdasher. This is not exactly in your wheelhouse. Roll a d10 and add your intelligence mod there for it.
7.
You're not completely sure. You know, like, it looks mean. It looks legit. It's bleeding on the nose.
That's full of crap.
I'm just going to have a little wander around the room, see if anything of interest makes itself.
I just roll a d20 and add your thief level and your intelligence bonus. This is you checking it out.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
18.
All right. You go back and look at his back cabinet back there, and like instantly, like you found his stash. And he's got like a whole tray with like everything back there and such. There's a bunch of books on mysticism and things, and one of them is definitely his black grimoire, his spell book, which to you says he has actual power. He's an actual spellcaster. You know?
Any good spells in there?
He's got color spray.
Oh, color spray.
Mystical mask, magic shield, ward portal, and ESP. Those are four spells.
How about my special pocket that I have?
You're going to steal his spell book? That's cold junk right there. If you give me a pickpocket roll, I'll let you do like
I throw,
like,
I throw it to him water. And he just like
pickpocket checked.
Okay, 14.
Oh.
23.
He kind of snaps out of that pretty quick. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Sound.
Just the one book. I'm not being greedy here. Yeah. Just the one book.
After he wakes up, I get him to sit down. Now look, I'll lay up with you. We know he was poisoned.
Poisoned?
Yes. We just try to find out what happened to him. Who it was.
Do you know the wizard Nothing Flat?
We heard of him, yes.
Yes. Well,
the King's Wizard.
Yes. The King's Wizard, did you know that he's the greatest alchemist of our time?
Really? He wasn't there last night, was
he? No, he wasn't. But he's possessed of great powers. Mm-hmm. And it's said that he cast a magical barrier of protection over the house of Arcadia some years ago, but I'm certain that he could walk through his own barrier.
You're obviously a man of intellect. Explain to us how it could have been that one man dies of poisoning at a party when two others are present.
There are magical ways. Myself cannot do this, but some can conjure an invisible servant who can creep in through anything and could have put that in there. I mean, that's a possibility. Or it could have been someone could have summoned a demon. A poison demon could have been summoned forth. Some of them have the ability to stay invisible for a long, long time. There are magical means, and there are magical creatures. There are quizlings who need to but touch a liquid to their finger. Dagged up. But it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doubt it not. And with my powers, I know that they're present, and I know that sometimes they're around us all together, and that they are the enemies of man.
And the King's Wizard, where would we find him? Is he still in this castle?
He is still in the city. I can tell. I can feel him.
What was he afraid of? Why didn't he turn up on time?
I do not know. I would know. But his powers are greater than... I make no claim to a power greater than Melson Slap's. His powers are great, and I cannot penetrate his...
What's his greatest wish?
I don't know. He's there, and he keeps himself in that little tower, and he, you know, he dabbles, and he talks to who knows what spirits out there.
What's his alchemy trying to do, do you know?
I do not know. But I I know that I've never met him face to face, and he won't go amongst regular people. The last I've heard is that his dabblings in black arts and his experimental magic have warped his body. That he's nearly unrecognizable as human. This I hear.
He doesn't look like a bird, does he? So
I don't know, but I've heard that he is a sight.
What was the final decision last night in terms of when you were going to sail? Was it deferred to April?
I looked at the charts. They gave me the range. It said from the third day of April until the last day of April was the window. And I told him the 15th was the best day out of all. So if you add 1 and 5, you get 6. 6, of course, is a powerful thing of protection.
Oh, come on!
He goes on until the halfling protests.
Can we go? Can I see the one with actual power?
What was the actual decision, though? What was the decision to defer it to April?
April 15th.
Okay.
That was the decision. Okay. And they charted it out very carefully, and then they're going to have to search an area because we know approximately where the island is. But okay. You know it because there's unnatural mist there that won't move in the wind. You can see white spires over it. Mm. You can look over into their windows, and sometimes you actually see the gray ones walking amongst those spires, looking down and thinking whatever dark thoughts they think. They are cruel beings, but fair.
So the Rod of the Ungod, obviously it's blocking your visions.
That must be it.
Are there any ways for us to detect where it might be?
Yes. Search the city and look for the hole. Search with magic. And look for the place where nothing is. That's where I would start.
And who else might want this rod?
Any wicked man who wishes to have dominion over life and death and does not mind treating with the darkest of forces.
Mm-hmm. Can you search the city magically for us? Or?
I will. Tomorrow is the funeral. Come to me after that. And then I shall see if I can find it. I shall do all of my power to. Thank you for your power in restoring me. For a moment, I thought my heart would stop. Well done. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm. Tomorrow, after the funeral, and I will see what I can find.
Oh, I'm not holding my breath. I put leg on all your drapes.
I see dark things for you, sir. Be careful going forward. One never knows what forces are out there waiting for them.
Oh, I'm scared.
I'm going to let you go for your lunch. I'm going to ask you a brand new traditional question I made up for this expo.
By all means.
Which is, I don't know how knowledgeable you are about who is among the exhibitors here, but I'm asking people, who do you think I should interview because you find them extremely interesting while over here?
Oh,
please don't
gracious.
Say Modiphius, because I already had two set of people telling me Modiphius, so I already did
certainly.
That.
Certainly. You know what? I'll say Bruce Cunnington. He's a figure that's returned to the hobby. He is a miniature painter. He has a Twitch page where he does painting on there. He's a really interesting fellow. And
he's here?
Yeah, he was here a moment ago. It was
okay.
In front of the beard.
With the red t-shirt?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would say, interview Bruce. He's a good guy, and he's very interesting. An up-and-comer in the hobby, and like a magnificent miniatures game. And he doubts his dungeon mastering skills, but I haven't had the chance yet. But I think he's probably great.
So he's a miniature Bob Ross, then?
Yeah. You know what? Tell him that, and he'll have a story.
So you hanging out with him tonight or
we'll probably grab some dinner here in a minute, and then he's gonna be in my nighttime game.
Okay.
And I'll tell him to get in touch.
Okay, sure. Great.
Cool. Great. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a real honor.
Well, it was one of the best game ever, so thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers. All right, so you guys make your way over to the keep. You are known persons, and you are allowed inside. Once you get inside, the king would require an audience. Behind the throne room is his, private study. A big trestle table, books every place, huge map of the world over the ceiling and such. And there he is, the king. He's in his, late 50s. Tell me all that you have found, what you have discovered in your investigations. I would know everything.
Mm-hmm. He was poisoned.
It would have to be. There's none that could face him in battle. None. Well, this is disheartening. And you're sure of this? You're certain?
Yeah, we are certain.
We are. Stop at nothing. I would see those brought to justice. I would see this matter put pay it to as quickly as possible.
Well, it's interesting you said that, because actually it's a bit delicate who our prime suspect is, you see.
Who's that?
What we'd like to do before we go any further is speak to the wizard. I know he was supposed to meet with Arcadia last night.
Of course. Go immediately, and if you complain, tell him I said to immediately allow you entrance. I have one more favor to ask of you beyond this, which is, of course, already a great ask, and I realize this. Tomorrow morning at dawn, we will bury him. He deserves to have his friends there as his pallbearers. Will you be honor guard for the coffin tomorrow?
No,
meet tomorrow. Well done, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let me detain you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
You guys make your way up to the tower. It used to be straight up, and now it's like all crooked and twisty, so you actually have to hold onto the rail to like not fall over the side, just make your way up there. The first room that you come to, it's like part sleeping chamber, part alchemy lab, part research area and such. As you guys like enter, like Melsor Slap comes out of the shadows, and he really is a sight to see. One of his legs is three times longer than the other, and he drags it behind him as he comes at you guys and such. Ooh. His eyes are these huge, like eggs, they're like kind of lidless and staring and bulge out and such. One of his arms is scaled, like a dragon, and the other one's covered in bandages. The bandages writhe and pulse like a smooth air under his skin that's trying to get out. He kind of drags his way over to you and looks over to you and he says,
The fact that you are here and speaking to me means that I am a suspect in the murder of Arcadia. That speaks to your intelligence. What have you found?
And that he was poisoned.
Hmm.
We've been told you're an expert in I am. Such things.
I certainly could have done it. And there's my alchemy lab. Mm-hmm. I'm certain if I don't have the compounds necessary to put it together this evening, I could have it here by tomorrow.
Who else would know about such a compound?
Hmm. In this city, he says, there's Nicholas Tavar, a.k.a. Sick Nick. And you're like, oh, Sick Nick. He's like the guild poison guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he could totally do it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, it would take him a couple of days and some money. And Nicholas Tavar, mm-hmm. I know that he's a dabbler, mostly in toxins. Other than himself, I do not know.
How is it administered?
Must be put in food or drink. Difficult to detect.
And why didn't you go along when he invited you?
I have spoken to him about this ridiculous obsession with returning to the moon too many times. He doesn't listen. I've written him a monogram on the subject. So he drags his leg over to the sideboard there. He's got like pigeonholes up there, three over, takes one down, like unscrolls it, and he hands it to the elf. The title of this monogram, as you unroll it, is The Moon is an Airless Place Without Gravity or Life, Your Honor. As you read down, it's all math all the way down. You're reading through this, and there's a chart and all this. Like, if he's right, okay, and the math is right, what he's saying is that the moon is just a rock that, like, hovers around the Earth, that there isn't any air on it, and that, you know, you couldn't live up there if you wanted to. It kind of goes on and on in that vein of how it would be like, you know, it's like, and in conclusion, Arcadio, it would be folly, and if you are to go there, you will die instantly from lack of oxygen. Please take my word for this. I promise I would never, you know, like...
So, where did the Emperor of the Moon come from? We certainly remember.
Of course. Well, he's, something was real. I believe he came from the south due to his regionalisms and speech, but I think he was an appellation and perhaps an affectation. He was.
It's just some kind of weird branding, I guess. It's not literally from the moon.
Jeez. This is a man who should be a leader.
So you told us that you could have done it, but why don't you tell us why we shouldn't think you did it?
I have absolutely no reason to. I like civilization as it is, where I have access to books and quiet times. I have the greatest job in the city. I'm brought meals and I'm able to study and do my extremely important work. And frankly, I'm fond of Arcadia and I'm sad that he's gone.
Can I ask what caused your, not being rude, your physical
affiliations? It's true that I do experiment. He goes on about some of the magical things he's tried. This curse, that curse, corruption from miscast spells. I was trying to create a spell that would, you know, give me wings so I can fly around and my eye things happen. So he breaks it down for you, like, all the different things, but it goes
and on. That's all legit.
Yeah. I think it's got too much in his hands. He's not interested in killing warriors.
Could you explain how your kind of protection on the house of Arcadio failed to prevent whoever accessed the place?
Prevent the magical assaults and the entrance of demons and evil spirits, changelings, quizlings, ghosts.
But a simple thief could have entered the room without any fuss.
I do believe there would have been a fuss.
Hmm. So do you have an explanation for maybe why it failed to prevent what happened?
I do not, except that it was someone known to him, perhaps. Or they didn't use magic. They simply brought it in there. The ward that I created around him was literally to keep ghosts of vengeance from going in there and bothering them in their sleep.
Would you mind if we had a quick look at your laboratory?
By all means. So, give me a poisonous roll again. You know what? He doesn't have every ingredient for all the three possibilities. He doesn't have everything to him, but he can do two of them, no problem.
There isn't like a pestle and mortar which smells of burnt
No, there's a lot of things here. There's a lot of here for different kinds of alchemy, but there's nothing along those lines. But he says, take your time, look at whatever you wish. One thing though, you should know about this. This is much larger than the death of our friend and companion. When him and Lady Lumina met, what happened to them was something completely unnatural. The universe, the moving of cosmic spheres, sometimes causes the alignment of two parallel souls to come together. And that is what happened in their case. They are a perfect union, a perfect meeting of souls. Two people more than meant for each other, carved from one piece of spiritual real estate. And the unnatural death of Arcadio sets many things difficult into motion. If you were looking to destroy the world, you could do worse than to begin by poisoning Arcadium. What he and his wife had was not a simple meeting of people or a romantic union. It was an accident that happens with the movement of spheres and the alignment of stars. It's a symptom of the universe, a love that never dies, and that he has fallen and that she is still alive. We're all at peril. So, by all means, this must be resolved carefully.
Sounds really tragic.
Worse than tragic.
Oh, wait a minute. Could his wife have stolen the Rod of the Ungod to rise him again? You know, if she's so much into him and attuned to him?
That's insane. Perfectly insane.
Well, I don't know. When I'm listening to it, seems like she would go insane from the experience of losing him.
Oh.
And the Rod is missing.
I hope she's smarter than that. I hope she's wiser than that, because I wouldn't trust myself to. I would want 6 months of study and to read a mountain of books before I knew even began to try to harness its energies. It's a literal bargain with darkest forces. No. I can't imagine that. If it's, I know it was in his possession. I did not want it. I didn't want to have it in my possession. I just didn't want it here. If it's missing, that's very bad. That might have been why he was murdered. It might be...
Somehow the two are linked.
Well, that's a thing. Maybe the person who stole it, this was not the person who killed him.
There are supernatural channels that I can check out. Specifically, there are forces that would aid us and would see those things not happen that I can reach out to. Return to me tomorrow. Give me 24 hours to commune with these spirits, and then I shall see if I can locate it. But
that's too much, Jesus. We've got to go see tomorrow now.
Yeah. It's bad.
We're going to need you to work a bit faster, if you don't mind.
These spirits work on their own time.
So we're told that this Rod of the Ungod will block anyone detecting where it is. But by search, it blocks everything out. And so there'll be an area of the city that you can't see.
Clever. Very clever.
Can you tell us which area of the city?
I'll be able to.
You have to wait until tomorrow?
These things take time. And I have spiritual errands I must run between now and then. Or there are arcane things I must attend to. I can't be more serious about how we are in jeopardy from this death. Mm-hmm. So, but return, give me 24 hours and I shall find out everything that I can about this matter. And I will...
This episode included Heroic Team by Spencer Owen, Master of the Beast by Kevin MacLeod, Homeland Hashes by Kai Engel, A Good Lullaby by Autumn Puppy, Bells by Vic Nett, Bells and Vibes by Michael Bruckner, and of course our theme song Soltao Frango by Ponde de Roll. All these songs are available for free download on the freemusicarchive.org. This episode also included Sunscapes by Swatko Sunscape, including Small Marketplace and Coastal Town. I recommend you check their YouTube channel. I've heard that people have been demanding for Swatko Sunscape to do a Forge Sunscape, and it was announced on Twitter that it's coming right now, so go check it out. The logo of the Rollist podcast is designed by Rolin Kunz. Please check his excellent work at the link provided in the description of this episode. Thank you very much to Brenda LaSalle and the player of this game for allowing me to record. Thank you very much to Lee Nelson, who get us in touch, me and Brendan, and made that episode possible. So that's it, listener. Now you know what a game at the UK Games Expo sounds like. I hope it will make you want to join us there next year. If you like this episode, please tell anyone you can, anywhere you can. Share it around, and you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. It's at Rollispod for the later two. If you want to support the show, you can do so via Patreon. And lately, I posted 31 mini episodes where we answered the RPG A Day 2018 question. So that's a rather nice collection for you to put in your playlist if it's a bit empty this month. Another way to support the show is through your purchases on DriveThru. So if you want to get a copy of Dungeon Crawl Classics or just a copy of one of the many good adventure modules by Brendan LaSalle, just follow the link in the description of this episode again. And the Rollist podcast will have a little support without it costing you a penny thanks to your purchase on DriveThru. Any financial support is the thing which allows me to go to Expo and places like that. I do the show out of a passion for the hobby, but I do have a lot of expense, and this helps a bit with it, and this helps a lot with motivation. If you want to motivate me in person and meet other tabletop RPG fans in London, you can do so like every month at Le Drinks and Dice. This time it will be on September 23rd. There's a link in the description of this episode if you want to double check the date. It's in the city of London, so it's very central. I will be at Dragon Meet also, of course. If you have not booked your ticket, I really recommend you do so, especially since the new edition of Podcast Zone has been confirmed. I'm not already in a position of giving the name of the show participating, but it should be a rather exciting roster again. So that's it. See you in a couple weeks, maybe less, for the third part of the interviews recorded at UK Games Expo 2018. The second part of this bonus will follow a bit later. And yeah, so I hope you enjoyed it and you will come back. So see you then, and in the meantime, have good games. Holê, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra vestir. Vai, Batuque! Holê, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente. Holê, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente.
Say, did you ever kill a giant?
I killed seven with one blow!
Seven!
We killed seven giants with one blow!
Seven and one blow!
How many?
Six!
Seven!
With one blow?
Jiminy Cricket!
Who?
The tailor!
Do you mean it?
Seven! At one blow?
No!
Yes!
Seven!
Seven with one blow!